It's time for Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout, coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. Over the next few minutes, Pastor Swarthout will share from his heart and bring you a message from the Word of God. We would like to invite you to visit our website at christiansforamerica.com. That's Christians, the number four, America.com. It is our prayer that you will be blessed and encouraged by today's message. And now, Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida.
Hello, everybody. We are so glad that you have chosen to spend this time with us and with God. This is Pastor Don Swarthout, and I am the pastor of the Gospel Truth Center. As you have heard me say before, we crave revival in our churches and the restoration of godly principles in America. Today, I want to talk with you about the fact that the Bible says, in Jesus, we can find no deceit, guile, or lies. Telling the truth has always been important to God, and it has always been very important to me personally. One question I want to ask you is, if you swear in secret, are you being deceitful? Well, the correct answer to that question is yes. Anything you do, which you are not supposed to do, and keep it hidden from others, is necessarily deceitful. This is so simple, you may wonder why we're discussing it. The first thing I would say is, thank God you are wondering why we are discussing this. But the reason for this statement is that too many Christians act like nothing is wrong with being deceitful or lying. The word deceit, according to the dictionary, means an act of representing representing as true what is known to be false, a lie or a dishonest action, or the quality of being deceitful. The word deceitful means tending to deceive, apt to lie or cheat, the intention to deceive, and to be deceptive or dishonest. We recently had a congressman who was under a great deal of pressure to resign, which he finally did. But he said beforehand, there is nothing illegal about what I have done. I have not violated the Constitution in any way. Therefore, I will not resign from my position. My question to him was, would Jesus make the same excuses that the congressman made? I don't think Jesus would condone lying, do you? What this congressman might as well have said was, lying to the people who elected me and believe in me is okay. Lying is not mentioned as a crime as far as the Constitution of our nation goes. And as a congressman, lying to you, therefore, is my right and privilege. That is just crazy. That is crazy talk. And I would say to that, it is also our right to deny anyone who is a liar, who is lying to all of us who live in the United States of America. It is our right to mistrust elected officials since these people work for us. Maybe the Constitution does not make specifically lying wrong, but even then, I have the right to mistrust any of our elected officials who just blatantly lie to our faces. Besides, this congressman has already admitted that he did what he was accused of and admitted he lied to us in this manner, and we are left to wonder, what else is he lying about? We must not say that lying is okay, particularly an elected official who lied to all of us in this country. about the fact he did what he was accused of and then lied to all of us in a dramatic press conference. Recently on television, the Secretary of State justified lying to other countries when he said, "It is not uncommon for nations to lie to one another." I wonder, why do we even talk to these nations if they are known as liars? Does that make lying between countries or between anyone okay to Jesus Christ? We have become so deceitful that we will accept anything we may choose as okay. It has become like some of those people I hear on television who are really so against the American dream. These people talk like they deserve the biggest house on the block at a price they can afford, and they think that we owe it to them. There are about half of the people in this country who really believe this. Never mind that I shrewdly bought the best house I could afford to pay for. I have bought a house which we will pay for in 10 years. I have acted in a biblically responsible way by doing this, and I hate to remind you, but I was broke in the 1980s. I did not ask anyone or the government to pay for my house. Why should I now suffer from the fact our government encouraged banks to issue high-risk loans to people the banks knew would not be able to repay them, and then they did this? Of course, I know that we have been blessed by God. In other words, I do not expect to be blessed by somebody else who is telling me that I can afford a better house and that they will pay for it. But that is exactly what is happening in America today. America was based upon the freedom to do the very best that you can, not upon a guarantee that you will be able to pick out a house just as you want, and that house will be in the neighborhood that you want. Maybe these people who want these houses without being able to afford them do not know, but we tried communism at one time in this country. In the old days, we tried communism and it did not work. We found out that people did not produce nearly as much as they could because they all thought it was ridiculous to be a top producer since they were all going to, quote, earn the same amount anyhow. In other words, communism did not work because of people who expected the best without giving their best. Never mind the best was received, that they all received was not God's best. The result was that those who were top producers were not rewarded, and there were enough of them that they made America a capitalist society. America became a nation where your energy, initiative, hard work were rewarded rather than being ignored. If you worked hard and kept your nose clean, you were able to buy a house. Oh, maybe you weren't able to get a six-bedroom home with four bathrooms and have it be brand new, but you were able to buy a house. And this house that you bought was better than you could have bought in any other nation. America became a rich nation because those who were not top producers were still able to earn a great deal more than people living in other countries. America was a rich nation because people were rewarded and got what they earned, and not because of the fact the government gave it to them. One time, people who lived in America did not want to be given anything which somebody else had earned. These people didn't feel entitled because they knew the truth about communism. those who have been lied to by people who support communism want to feel close to a dictator. They want somebody to be in charge of their nation, but they want to feel like they're close to someone who is the dictator of their country because it makes them feel important. This is the reason that our nation is going down. We used to be a great nation, one that was very successful. Even those people who did not have the ability to make it to the top were able to achieve much more than people who lived in other nations and people who were ruled by other forms of government. One of the reasons for our decline is that there are no manufacturing jobs left in our country. Why? Well, because our politicians thought it was a good decision to send all of them out of the country. It has turned out not to be a good decision, because most of these nations are communist-based. Our politicians continue to lie about their decision, saying it was all good, and they lie about where the blame really lies. This decision by our politicians has turned our nation into what it is today. It does not matter whether these politicians were Democrats, independents, or Republicans, because they all acted like they thought it was a great thing to do. By shipping our manufacturing out of the country, we have become a nation of spenders and shoppers. We all went to the mall and we spent. That was why we have become a nation who believe we are entitled to a house, just like those that have earned it. Never mind that those people have worked for everything that they have earned. America used to be and still can be the leader in the world because of the innovation we have shown. If we had enough jobs to go around, not to be a nation of nobodies, we would be a nation of somebodies. The way to get your country into a position of being a world leader who is innovative is by keeping jobs. And you learn about the manufacturing process by seeing it and working in it every day. By the way, the same is true of a communistic country, but you will not have an opportunity to achieve as much for yourself as you will achieve in a capitalist society, even if you are not a top producer. Instead, your money will be controlled by a dictator who has power, money, and control. That person can tell you where you will work and what you will be doing and what you will do with your life and so forth. They will steal your life from you while taking every bit of your freedom. Your purse strings will be so controlled, the dictator gets way more money than you ever thought could be yours. The dictator will end up lining his pockets with way more of your money than you have ever thought could be yours. All you have to do is to look at these dictators' bank accounts, and you see that I am telling you the truth. You will receive much less by working in a communist country than in a country that is truly free. So if you believe a communist country is for you, then you should go to Russia, China, or Cuba. Then you will experience for yourself what happens when you work for the good of the government. The question is, which type of country do you want to live in and work in? I know that it seems like I've gotten off of the beaten path, but I was led to this path by the Lord. The Lord said to me, "This is the only path you have left to defeat some of the lies being told about this country." and what its government should be all about. Our government should be about liberty and freedom. And we are instead about high regulations and high deficits which steal your liberty and freedom. Another subject which the Lord has led me to was the United States of America citizens test, which was given to people before they became citizens of the United States. Well, it was recently given to a group of students in the eighth grade, and some in high school, and some to regular citizens. And they all failed the questionnaire, the test, miserably. This is reported to have happened because we no longer teach our children about the true founding of our nation and how the Constitution came into being. If you do not know where you are from, how will you be able to figure out where you are going? Maybe the best quote of our founding fathers was one John Quincy Adams made on July 4th, 1821. The highest glory of the American Revolution was this, he said. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. The number one principle in America has always been its freedom and liberty of its people. It is time we started believing in the Bible, which, by the way, is true. The Bible is the only opportunity we have left if we are going to save our nation. The Bible teaches us that everyone should possess and value a desirable character. Also, approximately 50% of the American people are for one party, and approximately 50% of the American people are for the other party, and they both believe they're right. No matter what party you belong to, the other party is viewed as wrong, and you are right. Could it be that we have been drawn into this battle which has been defined for us by both of these political parties? Well, the answer to your question is yes. We must realize in both lines of thinking, our politicians have had a part. These parties played a part in developing the arguments between them intentionally so that they can do what they want to do. They have agreed to disagree. When you see a political shot of a person that is a Republican on one channel and then right next to him is a Democrat and they say the opposite things, they knew what each other was going to say before they even said it. Why don't they ask themselves what is best for America and do that? Christianity is somewhat like that too. But we believe it is your right to choose. And the Bible says we will know everything someday. Therefore, we have no important differences, meaning we will accept other Christians. So in the Bible, we find that it is the only true way of life. God has to work with us. Believing in the Bible is the only way we can make a difference in the world today. Unfortunately, too many people believe that the political way is the way. The Lord also said to me, Don, you do not have a political problem in the United States of America today. What you have is a religious problem. Too many of our people do not really believe in me. If we can get around this in our minds, we will save America. The Lord is telling us that we must follow Him and we must follow the Great Commission. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Bible says, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Scripture is saying, if you want the liberty which God can bring, you must live in the Spirit of the Lord. Then you will have liberty. And the Spirit of our Lord is freedom, liberty, responsibility, and opportunity. The Lord has given us each His liberty and His freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherefore Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." In my opinion, this was written to us in America today. The Lord has set us free and has set us at liberty from the yoke of bondage so that we don't ever have to be entangled in bondage again. Too many of us are entangled with the yoke of bondage. The perfect law of liberty is in Romans 8:1-2. Why? Because this scripture tells us how Jesus Christ made us free. And by the law of the Spirit of life, Jesus has made us free, and that is the same as the perfect law of liberty. How is Jesus Christ made us free? Well, let's look again at Romans 8:1-2, which simply says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. How important is a statement that? The scripture is very important because it explains that there is now no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit. And Christ Jesus has made us free to live in the Spirit of life. And Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. This scripture can also be tied to John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Remember, the devil wants your freedom and your liberty. And he wants to steal it by taking away your true history, so you will not know where you came from or how your nation was founded. The Muslim religion puts people in bondage to their God and requires certain behaviors or actions from Muslim people in the name of religion. The Muslim religion teaches ungodly principles. In Psalms 119:45, it says, the Bible says, "I will walk at liberty for thy precepts." This means that if you want to seek his precepts, you shall walk in liberty. Isaiah 61:1, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to which they are bound." This scripture says that by proclaiming liberty to the captives, the prison of them that are bound is opened. This is for those who are in prison, which is binding them up. It is to be opened by Jesus Christ, so they will be set free. Romans 8:21 says, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God." This means that before we became children of God, we were merely creatures. If you don't believe in God, you are a creature. After we became the children of God, we were delivered from the bondage of corruption. This means that we should not live in a corrupted nation like a dictatorship or Russia or China or Cuba or any other nation, which requires its people to live in communism, which is necessarily corrupt. These people may be equal, but they are equally poor and oppressed. This means why God wants us to live in a nation without any corruption. This explains that. And if we are made children of God, we have been delivered from the bondage of corruption and the bondage of dictators. In James 2:12, the Bible says, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." In James 1:25, the Bible says, "Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." What is the perfect law of liberty? Well, to me it comes from the judgment of God, who looks at your life. And he looks at it to find out whether you're living in freedom and liberty, or are you somehow involved in living in corruption, in a corrupt dictatorship. For example, the nation of Nigeria has a lot of oil and would be a very strong nation if it were not for corruption. The law of liberty may be best explained by remembering 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jesus expects us not to have any deceit, guile, or lies in our mouth. And he is the only person who ever lived a perfect life, and by perfect I mean free from sin on earth. In 1 Peter 2:21 to 24, "For you were called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." 22 says, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth." 23 says, "Who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten." 24 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we might, having died to sins, live for righteousness, by whose sins you were healed." The idea is that he had committed no sin, nor deceit was found in his mouth, was what Jesus was all about. This was an example he left for us. We were to have no sin, nor was any deceit to be found in our mouths. And this commandment was meant for today. Before I end this sermon, I want to make a couple of points. One began yesterday when I received a voice message from a lady who wanted to verify that the ACLU was getting tax dollars. Whenever the ACLU won a case against the city, state, or county, they are ordered by the judge their submission of what they have spent in preparing for this case is ordered to be paid by the city, county, state that they have sued and won. And this lady had asked a question of the member of Congress and said, "No, that's not true." She also had checked with a watchdog organization, to which I'm not going to say who it was, and which she believed in their truthfulness, and again was told, "No, that is not true." Let me ask you a question. If someone sues a state, city, or county agency, wins the lawsuit, who pays for the ACLU's cost in preparing for the trial? Does that money come from the city, state, or county? Where does that money come? Well, that's right. It comes from the city, county, or state where they do get their money from. That's right. But they pass it on to taxes paid by the citizens of the city, county, and state. The lady was confused by answers that she thought she had gotten and asked for proof, which I will supply her by tomorrow. People who do not know that the ACLU is getting paid, and it is the American taxpayers who are footing the bill, most people simply do not know this. Another point I wish to make in this sermon is a number of high school students and junior high students and citizens were given the citizenship test, and as I said earlier, they failed it miserably. In addition to this, most Americans do not know that American history is not being taught in some of our schools, or if it is, a different version of our history is being taught. What may be taught to your children is America was and is a money-grubbing, land-grabbing country, which was founded by people who believe that way. That is so much of a lie that simply is not true. The truth is, too many of us did not listen to God anything like our founding fathers did in the old days. Our nation has become one where our children are being taught to hate our country. We are the only ones who know the truth about our America. The older generation knows the truth. My dad fought to provide for our family's safety and well-being in World War II. And most people don't know anything about World War II. Our children are being taught that America is and was a bad nation, and countries like Russia, China, and Cuba are good nations to live in, and they are good nations in which to raise a family. If there are great places, if they are great places, why are people in no hurry to get into them? You think you are too busy to notice what is going on right under your noses, but I ask you to remember that you are not too busy to remember this country and where it came from and where it is going. You suffer from laziness instead, or you suffer from a lack of knowledge. However, I believe in America, and I believe in God. I will serve God the rest of my life and will teach the view that our great country is a great country, which I was taught as a youngster. Well, we're about out of time for today, and we will be back here next week unless the Lord comes first, in which case I will see you in heaven.
This has been Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida. We pray that today's program has been a blessing to you. For more information, visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. Once again, that's Christians, the number 4, America.com. Or visit thegospeltruthcenter.com. We would love to hear from you. You can write Pastor Swarthout at 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. Or you can email Pastor Don at swarthout5, that's the number 5, at AOL.com. Or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. 86-13. Thank you for listening to Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout. We look forward to hearing from you.